Parshas Vayigash, when we read about the progeny of Yaakov Avinu, the pasuk says, "The Eis Sarach Achosam," among the descendants, the children of Asher. There's a parallel pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, where there the pasuk says, "Perakavav Pasuk Memvav, the Shem Bas Asher Sarach." And there's a comment of the Ramban you have on the first page of the Marmor Kamos over here, halfway through. V'yatam v'sarach achosam. Why does the pasuk say v'sarach achosam? Ki haisa achos banav lobito. Because the pasuk dafka doesn't say that it was Usher's daughter, because it wasn't. It was Usher's son's sister, because they had a common mother, but a different father. So Sarach was not the daughter of Usher, it was the daughter of Usher's wife. V'lakach amar v'shem bas Usher sarach, v'lo amar u'bas Usher. Lomar, ki hayashma bas Usher v'nikreis Sarach. Okay? So what do you see, apparently? That even though the pasuk there says v'shem bas Asher sarach, that's somehow lav dafka. And apparently, at least in this context, you have license to refer to a stepdaughter or a non-naturally born daughter as a daughter. So what I'd like to discuss tonight is how halacha conceives of the relationship between adoptive parents and adoptive children, and whether this notion of Shem Bas Asher Sarach is actually reflected l'halacha in how we identify adopted children. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Adaf Yutas Amud Beis, Neimar Av Rav Yishuv Karchan on the Marmor Kamos, the pasuk says regarding Michal Bas Shaul, Eis Chameshis B'nei Michal Bas Shaul, Amar Rav Yishuv, V'chi Michal Yalda V'lo Meirav Yalda. These are really the daughters of Meirav, and not of the sons of Meirav and not of Michal. Gemara says, Meirav Yaldo, Michal Gidla. The Meirav was a biological mother, but Michal raised them. Lefikach Nikru Al Shema, Lelamedcha Shekolim Agadol Yasam B'Sach Beso, Mala Lavakasav Kilu Yalado. So there's a notion that if you raise a Yasam, Yasam in your house, it's Ki'ilu you gave birth to them. So what exactly are the parameters of that? First of all, the Marshadr comments, there in Sanhedrin Yotes, that the Gemara is talking about. The statement of the Gemara is kol hamegadol yasam b'sach beso, but that's lav dafka. In the case of Meirav Michal, they weren't yasamim, so it's lav dafka yasam. If you're megadol anyone in your house who doesn't have a proper home to be raised in, so that on some level is ki'ilu yulado. Rav Melo Shechter in his Zichrono Livracha in his RJJ journal article on the topic of adoption in Halacha, 1982, points out that there is a statement of Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuvas, and this is quoted also in the Torah Vahara Parsha sheet from a few years ago, that Rav Shlomo Kluger apparently said, I couldn't find it inside, but he's quoted as saying that there may even be a mixas kiyum pruvu for being begadol yasam esach besa. If you have an adoptive child, so it's obviously not pruvu in the literal sense, but on some level, maybe there's a mixas scheme of pruvu, and Rav Melech Shechter writes that the Rav said something along those lines as well, that there's some element of pruvu if you're megadol yasam v'sach beso, or you raise someone who doesn't have anyone else to raise them. Now, our conversation tonight is specifically geared towards Jewish adoptive children. We're not talking about adopting a non-Jewish child and the Parsha of Geirus that involves. I think we did speak about Geir Katan once here before. But our topic tonight is how we relate to adoptive Jewish children. There's a Tshuva of the Yaivitz, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Samachay, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Samachay, the second page of the Marmor Kamos. This is quoted Lalacha in Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Nedarim, the Shaila that Rabbi Yaakov Emden is addressing, Hamagadol Yasim Bebeso, Gam Yesh Lo Banim, the nadar mi banim stam imayasa b'chlal. So you have someone who has a adoptive child and naturally born children, and he takes a nadar that he's mudar hana from all his children, that he can't benefit from his children. So when he says all his children, does he mean dafke is naturally born children, or are his adoptive children included in that lasha nadar? So in the first paragraph here, the Yaivitz makes a comment, which is consistent with what we just quoted from the Marsha in Sanhedrin, that Yasam, and the Gemara Sanhedrin is Latav Yasam, it applies even to someone who has parents alive, but they're not in a position to raise them, and someone else raises that child. So that also is Bechlal, Megadlo Yasam, Asach Besa. So he writes, about two thirds down the first paragraph, Gam Bazani Mesupuk, what's the din over here? As far as the Lashon Neder, whether it includes other the adoptive children as well. Kravani Lomer Shen Asarim Zabazek Shinader Zami Aviv Vahumi Bino. Shazen Akshav Esok Ilu Yaldamish Vereza Derech Lashem the Adam Gam came below Od El Shelfam Holchem Achalashim Torah. So as far as Lashem the Adam, that's the governing principle when it comes to Nedarim, we follow what Lashem the Adam is. So Lashem the Adam could be that we include both the naturally born children and the adoptive children. He says, maybe you could distinguish, this is the second paragraph, between a case where a person only has an adoptive child. So then if he says he's mother enough from his banim, he means only those, because that's all he has. And where he has both naturally born children and adoptive children, then maybe there you could argue he intended to exclude the adoptive children and only include the naturally born children. Then the Ivitz makes reference in the last paragraph to a tshuva of the Agos Maimonios. Tshuva's Maimonios printed in the back of the Rambam in Sefer Mishpatim, which is quoted partially la'alacha by the Rama in Chosha Mishpat. Another application where a reference to children can halachically include adoptive children as well. The Rama in the end of Siman Mem Beis in discussing Shtaros, the end of Chosha Mishpat, Siman Mem Beis, the Rama writes that if a person, based on this Tshuva Maimonios, if a person has an adoptive child in his household, and he writes in a shtar a reference to Banai, and that reference to Banai can include the adoptive child as well. A reference to Bini, a reference to Banai, and that's not considered a shtar Mesuyah. And even if a person only has an adoptive child, not a naturally born child, and he says Bini in the shtar, so that's not a shtar mezuyah, because he could be referring to the yasam that he's megadil b'self besa. So at least in the realm of shtaros, and maybe in the realm of nedarim, you see that a person can, in a halachically meaningful way, reference his adoptive child as a child, and that could have effect, could be relevant for nedarim and shtaros. The bigger question that comes up more commonly in this kind of a context is how to properly, both lechachila and what would be effective by the eved, refer to an adoptive child in the realm of alila Torah, in the realm of a ksuba, and in the realm of a get. Now, the most consequential of those would be a get, because a shinoi, b'shem av, let's say, would often possible, usually possible a get. The consequences of misrepresenting or miswriting something in ksuba are less severe, and possibly the consequences of how we call some Latorah might be less severe, but these are all related issues. There is an interesting medrash.
Yichud as well.
We'll get to Yichud, okay, if we have time. There's an interesting medrash that is quoted in this context. There's an article written in one of the early Noams, I think volume 4, by Rav Moshe Findling. Findling. I have no idea who he was. Noam number 4, Imus Yeladim, about a 30-page article. He discusses all the relevant halachic topics, a very nice survey. Ramel Shechter, in his article, makes frequent reference to this article that was published earlier. So he quotes this medrash, Rabba, Shmos Rabba Memvav Oshei. Actually, here it's Osvav. The pasuk says, "V'ata Hashem avinu ata, Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, hin ma re'isem." I'm going to say a slightly different.
I think it's just the hey.
Oh yeah, I meant that. Good. Okay. Good. Hey, thank you. The hey before. "V'ata Hashem avinu ata, Amar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, ma re'isem achshav lidarsheni." So why are you seeking me out now? Etc. And now suddenly you're coming to me when things are bad for you. But you're a father. So So even though I am your Av, I only want to express that to those who follow my will. Okay. And then another conversation, this is in Vav. I'm the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you abandon the Avos, and you're referring to me as your Av. We recognize you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as our Av. Mashal, liyasoma shahaisa miskadalas eitzel apotropis. So there is a Yisoma who was raised by a caretaker, not her natural father. V'haya adam tov v'daman. He was a nice person. God love v'shama karai. He raised her appropriately. Bikesh lahasiyah. And then it's time to marry her off. Allah halav lar lichtov haksuba. So the sofer is writing the ksuba. Amr la mashmech. What's your name? Amr plotis. Amr le mashem avich. Skila shesekas. What's your father's name? She didn't say anything. Amr la apotropis shalah la mashesekas. So the father, the adoptive father who raised her, says, why are you being quiet? So the only father I know is you. I don't know who my real father is. So Klal Yisrael also refer to his Yisomim, and their caretaker, their Abadrabas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Chilu Yisrael Karnas Avinu, and Klal Yisrael referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as their Av. So, apparently, what you see, at least in the mashal of the Medrash, is the possibility of referring to a adoptive child by the name of the adoptive father in a ksuba. So we'll see how correct that might be, la halacha, in a moment.
So let's discuss a Jewish child?
Because a Jewish child that you're adopting does have a father's name.
Right.
For a non-Jewish child.
You're we're talking about so Jewish children. Everyone's Jewish,
child,
right?
Why would he not be called...
So in the Medrash, the girl apparently doesn't know who her father is or has no relationship with him.
The last line of the Medrash says,
yeah.
Right? Ribono Magadol Av, Lo Hamolid. That last line
correct,
of the
Medrash
says,
right?
Even if you know it, I mean, even if you know it, if the person's raised by someone else.
Right. Well, in the Mashal, she says, you're the only father I know.
Right, but he goes even further then, right?
Right, so the Nimshal, HaMegadol, Avloha Ribbono Olam, Megadol Av, Avloha Molid.
Would that post right, okay. The adoptive child does know the father's name?
Okay, so this is the Medrash. Let's talk Lahalacha now. Okay, so as we said, the consequences of writing a name inappropriately to get are the most severe. Take a look in the next page of the Marmar Komos, Hilchos Gittin Simen Kuf Kav Tes Seif Tes. So the Mishnah in Gittin Lama Dala tells us that Rebbe Gamliel's Misakein, that you have to write the Shema Av in a get, the Shema Av of the Baal and the Miskareshes. Says Mechaber, Lo Hisker Shema Avia Ish. Oh, Shema Avia Isha Kasher. So if you don't write the name of the father at all, you just write the name of the Megarish and Miskareshes, you leave out the name of the father entirely, that's kosher. Says Rama, the kosher kenim hisker shmo, below hisker shem kinoy, shalo, and if you write the name of the father there is kinuyim, without his nicknames, it's also kosher. The chachila kosin afilu kinuyin shem aviv. Okay. So since it's kosher if you write a ger without the Shema Av at all, so if you don't know the Shema Av, either a ger or a shisuki asufu, you don't know who the father is, then you only write the name of the party, not the father. Okay, Sif Yud. Yosef ben Shimon, Shashina, Vikasav, Yosef ben Shmuel, Pasol. If you make a mistake in the Shema Av, that's Pasol. So if you don't write the Shema Av at all, that's kosher. If you make a mistake in the Shema Av, that's misinformation, that is Pasol. There's a minority position to be shown, and that might not be the case, and Miesh Mishom, Rishem Nisus Lotetse, that be the evidence if she remarries on the basis Lotetse. But in general, we assume Shina v'Shema Av, apostles. So, common practice, when it comes to an adoptive child, then we'll flesh this out over the next few minutes, common practice when it comes to an adoptive child in a get is that if you know the identity of the natural-born father, the natural father, then you write the name of the natural father in the get. If you don't know who the natural father is, so that's the din ke'ena shesuki vasufi in se'if tes, that you leave out Shema Av entirely. You don't write anything, you just write the name of the megareshes, the misgareshes, you don't know that, write the name of the father. Dayan Weiss writes in Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Hesem Mem Dalid, that's what you do for Ksuv also. If you know the name of the natural-born father, you write the name of the natural-born father. If you don't, then you leave it out entirely. There is a ha'ara to make based on a comment of the Ole Shem. The Ole Shem is the sefer on Shemus Gittin written by the author of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch. The Ole Shem, Klal Aleph Sifkat and Dalid, which is also quoted by the Gemma Suder. Gemma Suder is one of the authoritative Shemus books on Gittin, written between the wars. So he says that in a situation where, in the Malkum Sivas Haget, you don't know the identity of someone's father, because objectively we have documentary evidence that his father is Ploni, but no one knows that Ploni is his father. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch suggests that if you're going to write the name of this biological father that no one knows to be this person's father in the get, that itself could raise a chashash psal, because if no one knows them as the son of that person, then that could lead to a misimpression about the get, and the get has to reflect the way a person is known in the community where the get is given. So if a person is really Yosef and Shimon, and then he goes to another town, and he starts referring to himself as Yosef and Shmuel, let's say. So Shmuel's not his father. Everyone calls him Yosef and Shmuel. And if you ask him on the street, who is this person? He'll say, it's Yosef ben Shmuel. So you can't write Yosef ben Shmuel because it's not true. But you also can't write Yosef ben Shimon because even if it's true, no one knows this person of Yosef ben Shimon. So according to that, if you have someone who he knows the identity of his natural-born father, but no one identifies him as such, according to that, maybe you should leave out the Shema Av entirely, even if you could identify that person.
Why don't you use both? Say like he's known as here and over there he's there, and also.
So if you have
the one who the apotropos, right? So say the Chaim Yankel who was raised by this person.
Okay, good. So we'll get to that possibility in a minute. That some others suggest. There's a tshuva of the Emek Sheela. Emek Sheela was a son-in-law of the Divrei Chaim. So he writes that in the case of a adopted child, where we don't know the identity of the natural-born father, so he'll agree, if you know the identity of the natural-born father, that's what you write. If you don't know it, so he suggests you can write Chaim, Demiskeri Chaim ben Avner. So his name is Chaim, and he's called Chaim ben Avner, Avner being his adoptive father. So you're not writing that he's Chaim ben Avner. It's not true. That's not his father. But if you're a Chaim Demiskeri Chaim ben Avner, so you're identifying him as Chaim, and he's referred to as Chaim ben Avner. Rabbi Sadrovic raises a question in Shuvas Asay B'Samim that makes sense if a guy's Ola Torah. But let's say the guy never gets an Aliyah, or let's say it's a girl. So if no one ever calls him Chaim ben Avner, can he really say Chaim who's called Chaim ben Avner? That he's not so sure about. But that's the suggestion of the Emek Sheila, that you can write Chaim the Mitzvah Chaim and Avner. Dayan Weiss, Ninchas Yitzchak Chelag Vav Simen Kufnen Aleph, says the same thing. That he's talking about a ksuba where we know who the natural born father is. Adopted kid, we know who the natural born father is. So we should have written the Plonis Bas, the natural born father. But there's a Chashas Sakana here if you're going to write that. What's a Chashas Sakana? Chashas Sakana is that the girl doesn't know that she's adopted. So if you're going to write the name of the natural-born father under the chuppah, she's going to faint, and that could be dangerous. So he says, where there's a chashas sakana, where she's not going to take it well, and why no one ever told her that is that's not the issue, but if she's not going to take it well, if you spring this upon her under the chuppah, so then you can write that kind of a formulation, plonis, the miskarya called plonis vas ploni. Rav Moshe has the following suggestion in the context of a ksuba. Rav Moshe in Chelek Aleph, Eben Ezer, Simen Sadites, Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadites, in a case where the chassan doesn't know the name of his natural born father. So he says you could write the following formulation. Ploni, ben Misha Nishkach Shemo, Vinikra ben Ploni Shagidlo. Ploni, ben Misha Nishkach Shemo, the son of someone whose identity we don't know. Vinikra, and he's referred to as ben Ploni Shagidlo. So you're referencing the adoptive father with a modification of Hamagadlo, that he was the one who raised this chasan, but not the natural-born father, and then you cover all your bases. You're identifying with the person that he's most connected to as a father figure, but you're identifying that it's not his natural-born father.
You could do something like this for a ger who wants to put in the father who raised his name.
Yeah, so the issue by a ger, or let's say you have a ger who has a Jewish father even. He had a non-Jewish mother, and he was Megayer. So the issue by a ger is that you have to, part of what the function of a ksuba is to identify someone's yichus restrictions. So there would have to be an identification of the fact that he's a ger. So in the ger, you write Ben Avraham Avinu. Now, maybe there's a possibility where there's a sensitivity to write something like either Ploni Ben Avraham Avinu Demiskeri, Ploni Ben So-and-so Hamagadlo, or something like that, where you still identify the person as a ger, but could include the name of the adoptive father where there's such a sensitivity. So Rav Moshe here suggests the lashon of Megadlo, that's in the context of a ksuba. Rav Schwartz, our Rav Bezdin, Gedalia Dov Schwartz, told me that the brother Rav, who's the founding Rav Bezdin of the Bezdin of America, would, in a get, when there was an adoptive child who did not know the identity of the natural born father, would write this lashon of Ploni, Demiskeri ben Ploni Hamagadlo. Ploni, the son of, or Ploni, who was called the son of Ploni Hamagadlo.
And the notion of trying to identify him as best we could,
right,
trumps the rule of the Shulchan Aruch that leaving out the name of the father is better than a possible Shinui B'Shmo.
So our current practice is to leave out the Shema Av entirely. The reason not to, if you were to have such a cheshbon, is twofold. Number one, if there's a sensitivity that the person dafka wants, at least you find this more in Ksuba than in a get. But in Ksuba, a person has a certain emotional need to have the name of the adoptive father there, so this is an allowance to do that. The other issue is that if we leave out the Shema Av, so then there's a cheshbon to get the Shisuki. So if Taka the guy is a Shisuki, then you should leave out the Shema. But if somehow we know enough information to establish it is not a Shisuki, then there might be a cheshbon to write something. But we had this one.
It's not really in conflict with the Shulchan Aruch, because he's saying Hanikra, not claiming it to be the real child.
Right. What he's saying is that the default position should be that if you don't know the identity of the father, so that's essentially Shisuki. By Shisuki, you leave out the Shema. We had that once. So our general practice now and again is that if we don't know the identity of the natural born father, we just write the Shem HaMegaresh. We had a case a number of years ago where someone came and was adopted and absolutely insisted that he's not going to agree to give a get unless we write the name of his adoptive father. So in that case, we wrote this Lashon of Ploni, Demiskeri ben Ploni HaMegadlo.
You put the last name in Bismarck when you just do the name?
And again, we don't write last names now. Okay. And some suggest that even for Ksuba, if there is a sensitivity, so even if we know the name of the adoptive of the natural born father, Yesh Malkum to write this lashon of Hamagadlo. The Sefer Ksuba Kolchasa has that. Sefer Mishpat Ksuba, Rabbi Eliyahu Bar Shalom, who's supposed to be in Pesach in two Shabbos from now. So he writes eight volumes on Hilchot Ksubas. So he writes this as well in the second volume, Paratesvav. The more complicated shaila is the post facto shaila. What happens if you wrote, it's come in a get, let's say, So let's say you wrote in the get the name of the adoptive father without any qualification. You didn't write Habagalo. You wrote the name of the adoptive father. So does that possible the get? So this shaila was asked by Rabbi Aaron Gordon. Rabbi Aaron Gordon was the great-great-grandfather of Rabbi Yaakov Reblowski. He was a Rav in the Lower East Side, a European who came to America around the turn of the previous century. And he was a Masader Gittin. He wrote the Sefer Milui, Sefer Evan Meir, and in Yane Evan Ezra, specifically, mostly in Yane Gittin, a little bit on Chalitza. So he sent the shaila to the Aruch HaShulchan at the time. Tuf Reish Samach Zayin, 1907. The shaila was that he had arranged to get in New York on behalf of a woman, and the woman represented that her father's name was Shmuel Leib. And only after the get was delivered and it was impossible to track down the husband again to do another get did he discover that Shmuel Leib was the adoptive father and not the natural born father. The natural born father's name was Leibish. So the Aruch HaShulchan had kama v'kama tseirufim to be makel, to be machshir the get b'di'evet. So number one, there's a minority position in the Rishonim of the Itter that a shina b'shem av doesn't possible. So even though we don't accept that lalacha, but you could throw that in as a sniff. Number two, the psul b'shem av may only be a psul d'rabana, not a psul d'araisa. Number three, you see ample evidence, as we started this year with, that sometimes you can identify a adoptive child as the child of the adoptive parents. So he quotes Shemas Asher Serach, he quotes Asniel ben Kenaz. Kenaz wasn't Asniel's natural born father. And he says that maybe the woman didn't even know the name, doesn't know the names right anyway, because Isha Bazar Minayin, so who's to say that she actually knows her father's name? Okay, so he has all these sirufim to be mekel b'makom igun to rely on a get where they wrote the name of the adoptive father b'di eved even without any qualification. Sif Eliezer quotes this chela dalid simen kaf beis lehalacha, and the many poskim assume along these lines that at least b'di eved is what to be mekel about if you wrote only the shem ha adoptive father in a get, especially where someone is identified as the child of that father. People don't know that the person was adopted. People always identify the person as connected to the adoptive father. In the Sefer Mishpat HaKsuba, he's choshesh for Ksuba, that you should be choshesh for the Shita, that it's possibly for the Eved. But there, again, the stakes are lower, so redo the ksuba. That's not such a big deal. In the case of the get, if you can't redo the get, then you're in much bigger trouble. He also discusses in the Mishpat HaKsuba that he doesn't think it's a good idea to leave out the Shema Av, as we said. Even if you don't know... If you know the name of the natural born father, so it's not a good idea to leave out the Shema Av entirely, because then people are going to think that you're Shisuki. So he says, if there's a sensitivity and you need to do it, okay, but then maybe when the sensitivity dies down, you should do another ksuba to cover yourself. Okay, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, looks like we're not going to have time to get to adoption, but let's just quickly conclude with Kriyas HaTorah. Sorry, not to get to Yichud, sorry. Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Lamed Tes Seif Gimel. The Rama writes when it comes to Asufi Vishisuki Karin Asov Vishem Avi Imo. So you call to the Torah by the name of the grandfather. Presumably, what that means is that you would say a Ploni Ben Avi Imo Ploni. Now, if the grandfather is Yitzchak, you don't say Ploni Ben Yitzchak. It's not true. You say Ploni Ben Avi Imo Yitzchak. V'meini Yadua Karin Asov B'Shem Avram Kamo Lager. Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph. Sorry, Mishnah Berurah Yud quotes the Taz that even by an Asufi, you should say Ben Avram. Melo Shechter points out in his article that's a little difficult because if the model is a ger, it should be Ben Avram Avinu. So maybe that's what he meant, that you say Ben Avram Avinu. Okay. But Melech Shechter points out in his article that here also, if you want to call, be called to the Torah with the name of your adoptive father, then you could use a modification of Hamagadlo that solves all the problems. I mean, the concern when it comes to all these things is that, number one, in a shtar, it may be a sheker. If you're writing something that's not true, that's sheker. And number two, the concern could be issues for Yosin. If you're going to misidentify someone, so they could end up marrying someone they're not allowed to marry, either Shemisa Achas Achoso, or if the person is adopted but believed to be the natural born child, then he ends up marrying a sibling that is not his biological sibling. People will think there's no Tvisas Kedushin, when in reality there's Tvisas Kedushin. So that's not such a remotion point, that's not such a likely chashash nowadays. But in theory, you have those concerns as well. Okay, I guess we're out of time. Maybe we'll talk about the other issues a different time.